Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. And Father, we are not a worthy people, but Lord, we love you with all our heart. And so, Lord, we just commit thy word unto thee, and we just give it back the best we can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. I was sitting in the lobby, and one of the sisters asked me to pray for the young people in Kentucky because they are all gathering by the thousands to... Now, is this a message or not the message or what? Just young people? You don't know? Huh?
It's Asbury College.
It's what?
It's Bible College.
Oh, well, they're lost anyway, so I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for saying that, but they're trying... They're trying to do God a service without it being his will. And they are lost, and they're looking for a revival when the prophet said, the last revival, you have seen your last revival. So the only revival that will come is to the Jews. All right, so I just want to make that known because it's just too bad. It's really sad. And when I heard thousands, I said, well... You know, it's not going to be thousands of people. It's going to be, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, where we're saved. Maybe 500, we don't know, maybe 5,000, but it's certainly not going to be like the numbers. And they're trying to work themselves up. You see, they get an anointing, so they think, but it's actually a human dynamo, okay? And the human dynamo can work itself up into... You know, like I said, you can raise your hands, glow them at the football games, and, you know, you look like you're really spiritual, but you're not. You're just silly. And, you know, so we just want to give God, he's looking for preeminence. And, you know, Christ was revealed to the bride. Now he's looking for preeminence. There's the three things, and then he will reveal himself. Or manifest himself in the people. So we're looking for the doxa of God, his opinions, his values, his judgment, to be in us, to live our life for us. And that's all we care about. I don't care about anything else but his word. Anyway, so that brings us to Alpha and Omega, which we ended our note on last week. Well, we find in Revelation 22 and 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, if he is the Alpha and Omega, it shows that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, I am God, I change not. So the emphasis shouldn't be on the vessels at all. It should be on the God who uses the vessels. Even, you know, I had a talk with my son, with a nephew the other day, and he stuck on this, that Jesus is the blood of God. Well, so what? And, you know, if he was a picture of God, so what? He's an image. He came in the image of the Father. The image is not the same as the source. Okay, you stand in front of the mirror, there's two people, one in the mirror and one that's outside the mirror. It's not the same person. And the blood of God, you know, is what? His DNA is the Word. He's a Logos. Okay, so the blood of God is a Logos, and the Logos was made flesh, and the Logos died. So, anyway... This nonsense about, oh, but he's the blood of God. Oh, but he's the blood of God. You know, he's the blood of God. I don't care if he's the blood of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Jesus didn't have his blood when he walked through the wall. Right. All right? Flesh and blood won't do that. He was in a glorified body. we're going to a glorified body. Forget about this flesh and blood. My blood is what's causing me a lot of trouble right now. And so I want this blood to be gone. I don't want to take this blood over there. Why would I want to go over there with the same blood? You know, why even, change back in the same body to 22 years old? Would I want this body? It's been nothing but a curse my entire life. And, I was able to do some things, in college. I could stand on the ground and do a backflip. I couldn't do it now. But, this, even though I could do that, it's still, I don't care. This body has caused me a lot of pain when it comes to God. So I'm not interested in that. I also want to say that before I go any further, let me just mention that the Babylonian Trinity was mentioned. I said it was mentioned in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I was mistaken. It was actually Hyslop's Two Babylons. And Fox's Book of Martyrs is about the 63 million people the Catholic Church put to death. And Hyslop's Two Babylons is actually, it's called Hyslop's Two Babylons, showing the Babylon back there, showing the Babylon of the Catholic Church, okay? So, anyway, but I couldn't come up with, in my mind, Hyslop's Two Babylons, so I said Fox's Book of Martyrs, but I didn't mean to say Fox's Book of Martyrs. So it was a slip of the tongue, and it was actually Hyslop's Two Babylons, okay? Now, we find in Revelation 21 and 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. All right? Are you thirsty? Because he's going to give to those who are athirst. So if you're thirsting for him, he'll fill you. All right? Now, Revelation 1:11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what I seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven church ages which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. All right? And then he says in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now, Brother Branham says from the masterpiece, he says the Alpha is the same. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. He never say anything in between. All right? I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same. I was in Alpha, I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. Oh, brother, we could stay hours on that, and we really could. Because once the bride gives him preeminence, which is what? He is the Word. And so once you get everything out of your mind, like turn on the light, don't turn on the light, like, anything you comes to your mind, just, your jobs, okay? Anything that comes to your mind, you've got to put the Word first in all things, okay? And I don't care if how do I say this? You have got to put Him first, not your own feelings, okay? Him first, not your own feelings. Not you as an individual. Put yourself last. You're last on the bucket. Okay? He's got to be first on the bucket. That's it. All right? In the paragraph right before this, Brother Branham said from the masterpiece, paragraph 98, the Word has become flesh, exactly like He promised in Luke 17 and Malachi 4 and all. See, that's right, Revelation. All true life that was in the stalk and in the tassel and husk is now gathering in seed, ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega, the first become the last, and the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process, become the seed again. You see, we have sat for 50 years since the prophet went off the scene. He was the first fruits, therefore he was Malachi 4. He was the manifestation of that seed. He was Luke 17:30, the manifestation of that seed. He was Revelation 10 and 1 through 7. He was the manifestation of that seed. He was the first fruit in this generation. Now, you have other seeds that have got to come to maturity. You have got the spirit of adoption. You have the spirit to manifest as sons of God. And you have spirit to be in the image, conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, the problem is, you say, okay, if you continue to look at the message as a 1960s or 65 message, you are lost. That's all I have to say. You are looking back, and you're missing what God is doing right now. God is manifesting his doxa. Remember, Jesus said, Father, I have given them thy doxa, and the world hates them because it hated me. But I've given them thy doxa that they may be one as you and I are one. Now notice he said, as you and I are one. That means in the same manner or in the same conditions. Now, how is God and Jesus one? Not one like your fingers one. How could the flesh be one with the spirit? How could the created blood cell have anything to do with an invisible spirit God? It doesn't. But it was a manifestation of the Logos that was materialized there, who said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me first. Now, if he was dependent on the Father to show him, then he and the Father were not one except in this respect, by the Word. He was the outraying or the expression of that Word. And he had nowheres... I don't care if the body was created by God himself. God had to step into that body because that body without God grew up to 30 years old and there was not one supernatural incident in his life. But when God entered his body, now you saw the manifestation of God. Now you saw God being declared. That's simple as it gets. And you know, to say, well, he is the blood of God, and therefore he is the blood of God. What does that have to do with the price of tomatoes in Africa? I mean, good grief. Just grow up. Grow up. You read one or two or even 50 quotes. Grow up. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom. He had to die. He had to lose his blood, okay, in order for God to raise him up. 18 scriptures that says God raised up Jesus from the dead. 18. Well, he couldn't raise himself. You know, they say, well, you know, Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you're lost in your sins. Well, who said that? The God that was in him said that. You know, the God that stepped into him at the River Jordan and left him in Gethsemane, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he came back, he said, touch me not to the woman. I have not yet ascended unto my God, my Father and your Father. So Jesus had a God and he had a Father. All right? It's just so plain. Look, the very fact that he had a beginning shows how much God needed him. Because if you think of eternity in two aspects, eternally past and eternal in the future, Jesus at some point came into being. The Logos was created. The Logos came out, piece of the Logos came out of God, which was the Word. Now, what about from that point on to eternity in the past? He was in God's thoughts. As Revelation 7, it says he's the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. So he was in God's thoughts. So, but let's just take from that point that God created, God brought forth the Logos, is his son, that light. Okay? Now, let's go back to eternity in the past. God, he didn't need him. God needs nobody, not even his son. But in order to express himself as a father, he birthed forth his son. In order to express himself as God, he brought forth the angels. Okay? So God has a family, period. And that family is the family of God. And when you are born again, you are filled with his Holy Spirit, and you come forth in the image of your Father. All right. So your DNA from earth means nothing. it does not mean a thing to God. You know, every one of his children that were born, Moses, Jesus, Jesus was crucified. He was terribly whipped and scourged. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. God said, look, you're come to the world for one purpose. That's for you to be child trained. And you are getting whipped. I'm getting whipped. You're getting whipped. And you know what? He's God. Should I say, well, God, how can you do this to me? You know, look at me. I'm a great preacher. I've been to 190 or 100. I've been to 60 countries. And well, he don't care. He don't care. If you're his child, you will get whipped. And, you know, the president of the United States just said in a briefing, well, we're going to turn everything over to the WHO and let the WHO make our decisions on what's a pandemic and what is not. Give me a break. That guy is so stupid that runs the WHO. He's nothing but a politician. He does not know medical science. He does not know medicine. He is simply just a hand puppet of the elites. And they are hand puppets of the Vatican. And the Vatican is basically the hand puppet of Satan. So tell me, if God can be killed, because they say, well, God died. If God can be killed by the devil himself, we should be worshiping Satan because he's more powerful than God. So no, God can't be killed. God is the immortal king. And the word immortal means he never can die. He never can die. So who died on the cross? Jesus. And God raised him up. And Jesus said, my God, why have you abandoned me? I feel the same way right now. Why have you abandoned me? I know that he's still using me, but you know, I just feel like, okay, I'm going through my trial. I'm just shutting my mouth like Job did, and I'm going to say what Job said, and that is, though he slay me, I will trust him because I have a better something awaiting me. So, all right. So the seed that went in has come through a process, and it has become the seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there, come back from that imperfect seed that died there, come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. Now, for modern events made clear by prophecy, he said, notice now they had done to him just exactly what the prophet said they would do, just as they are doing in this very same day in the Laodicean age. If you want to look at it, read Revelation 3, blind and naked and don't know it. Well, listen, I am saying this from the scriptures. Laodiceans are blind and naked and don't know it. Now, what does that mean? That means even in this message, 90-some percent of people who claim to believe the message have come into the message with their Pentecostal ideas, and they turn down what the prophet said, and they are going to hell, and I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I don't care. I don't care to say it to you, and I don't care to be explicit because they say, well, I loved the Lord. Well, so did Esau. Esau wept bitterly with tears, and he loved the Lord. All right. If you love the Lord, won't you obey him? Won't you take his word? When he says, I am the Son of God, and they say he's God the Son, they're doing two different things. Their idea is he's God the Son. Jesus never said, I am God the Son. He said, I am the Son of God. And he said, why do you stone me? Why, we don't stone you for saying you're the Son of God, but we stone you for making yourself equal with God. Give me a break. Every son that is born, that's the eldest son, there comes a time he's adopted, and when he's adopted, he becomes co-equal with his father. He has the same name. He has, you know, his name's just as good on the checkbook as his father's name is, and so he continues to run the business. Now, I don't know, you know, how can Jesus, when he says, my father is greater than I, how can his father be greater than him if he's co-equal? Now, you give me that just straight. Anybody in here, let me ask your son there, all right, if you don't mind. Is equal to greater than? No, of course not. Even a 7-year-old kid would tell you that. All right? Anybody who can read the Bible clearly, it says, "May the God, you know, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you say to them, okay, now, there is two, you know, how many people are there? Well, there's a God who's a Father, and then there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how many people? Two people. Not one person who is his own, you know, God. I mean, good grief, that's like they want to make themselves God too. And it's just full of fanaticism. But anyway, listen, this message has become a mess. It's run by a bunch of people who came into the message. Read 2 Peter. I'll just read it for you right now, if you want to read it, in 2 Peter. And we turn to the second chapter, and it says, right here, "But there were false prophets among the people, as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." So they're denying God by making his son God. Right there. All right? Now, the one who buys, all right, is the sovereign Lord. The one who is a purchase price is the Son of God. He was a purchase price. He was the blood of God, and God gave of his blood to redeem you. That's what Paul says in the Bible, and that's what Brother Bram says. So, but you have to understand, the purchased price is not the one who paid the price. Can we say amen? How many people in here buy milk? Or buy, say, bread, a loaf of bread, what's one? All right, so it's everybody, right? I know you didn't raise your hands, but okay, because man cannot live by bread alone. But anyway, so you bought the bread. You bought it, right? Now, are you the bread? No. You bought the bread. So you paid a price for the bread. You are not the coins that you gave, or that nowadays it's dollars, probably going to be $10. It's not the money that you paid in exchange for the bread. You are not, you know, the price that you paid, okay? God is not the person, Jesus, whose blood was given for us. Now, he is, you know, he is the blood of God, which again, I said, God does not have blood. Now, I don't know, you know, how many times I got to say this. God does not have blood. God is eternal. But the manifestation of his Logos became flesh and blood. He spilt that blood for you. By his stripes you're healed. And he died for you, but he is not God who died for you. If the devil can kill God, then, hey, why does he do it again? Right? He can do it anytime he wants to, because he's got the powers at his disposal. So it is so ridiculous. People read the Word of God. I just told the brother, look, go back and read your Bible. You are not saying what your Bible is saying. You know, he said, well, he's the blood of God. Do I have to hear this 50 times? He's the blood of God. Listen, the blood is not God. My blood is not who I am. Who I am is Brian Kosorek, soul and spirit. This body is a representation, but is not me. This blood is, at this point, is probably, you know, my blood pressure is probably up, but it is not me. It's not who I am. When I die and leave this body, thank God it'll happen one of these days if I don't step over. But that's not me that dies. Charlie's not dead. He's still living. He's still alive. His body's in the grave, but he is still alive, just as much Charlie as he ever was. In fact, you're going to find out one day he's even more Charlie than he ever was. So I'm saying, let's just read the quote. Notice now, they had done to him exactly what the prophets said they would do. Now, isn't it interesting that who speaks through the prophets? God, then Brother Branham's quote here, they've done to him exactly what the prophet said, is exactly what the God said that they would do. Just as they are doing to this very same day in Laodicea. If you want to read at it, read Revelation 3, blind, naked, and don't know it. They think they can work up some fanatical thing and call it a revival. A revival is coming back to look. When the grass dies, turns brown, it comes back up, it's a revival. It's a life coming into the grass. The trees lose their leaves, they gain their leaves in the fall time or in the springtime. And so it's life coming back into, but they're not seeking life. They're not seeking life. They're seeking a way out because they know tribulation is going to catch them. That's all they're doing. And so they call it a revival, but it's not a revival. You've seen your last revival, and they turn it down. So when he begins to reveal himself into the seed form again, the same one that went into the ground came back to be the bride. Just the bride and groom is the same flesh and blood. So if your blood will not inherit the kingdom, his blood doesn't either. Because we're the same blood. In other words, we are the same logos. We are the same doxa, the same opinions, the same values, and the same judgments. That's all. The same things. Doing just exactly what he done, the Spirit. And here they're impersonating and doing everything else, and each one's got his own book and running, and this. And you never heard such sensation. I smell a devil. Good grief. How can you smell a devil? He's a spirit. You see? And all this, that. And just as unscriptural as it can be. Like I told the brother, I said, look, I sent you several sermons on the Father and the Son and on the Godhead, and you have said, well, I've been so busy, I don't have time to read them. I said, if you really wanted eternal life, you would drop everything and read those books. But you've refused to read them because you are sure of your salvation. And I'm telling you, your salvation is nothing because you turned down the Word. So, for modern events made clear by prophecy, now, we realize that we're living in a tremendous time and a great time, and forgive me if I'm speaking too rough, but I don't care because I don't have much time to live, all right? I am going to tell you the truth if it scalds me to tell you the truth. And by the way, I don't think it's scalding you people here, and most of the people online, I don't think it's scalding them. But he said, we realize that we're living in a tremendous time and a great time. But when the truths of this Bible, believers, have seen that vindicated, the very vindication of it is the evidence that God is in it. Absolutely. It's then that the promised word that promised, that God promised is made known. The seed is bursted forth and they see it and they believe it. Others can't see it. I'm going to repeat that. Others can't see it. Somehow they'll sit and look at it. You know, I preached hard enough across the country that it should be there shouldn't be a short-haired woman in the country. But every time when I come back, there's more. What's the matter? There's something wrong. You know the Word says that? You say, well, that don't make any difference. It does make a difference. You see, those people that bob off their hair, I'm sorry, but you know what? They're going to have to answer to God for disbelieving His Word. I don't care how fashionable it is. I don't care how much. I look really nice. What? You know what? If you could only look at the skin bone, you know, just look in the mirror. You're dying. Every one of you is dying. There's nothing in this flesh that would make you want to say, well, you know what? I'm so pretty and I can look at myself, you know, all day long. Forget it. There's nothing there but a skeleton, and it's got flesh and blood. And you say, well, I've got a nice flesh and blood. Well, so does a prostitute. And look at where she's at. It doesn't make any difference. This flesh and blood, is not. You're not going to take it with you. I'm sorry. It does not inherit the kingdom of God. So get your mind. Might as well get rid of the mirrors, you women. It's not the men. You know, men look at themselves and say, you know, I'm an old fart. But the women look at themselves, oh, I'm pretty today and I'm going to be even prettier tomorrow. No, you're not. You're going to get uglier as the days go along. You're going to have wrinkles all over your body. You're going to get fat. You're going to have 3 or 4 or 5 humps on you. And the men are losing their hair anyway, and they're getting old. And you know what? There's not a person in here that is worth nothing when it comes to this flesh and blood. Okay? It's just for testing alone. That's all. All right. From trying to do God's service without it being his will. The word, the evening message, must carry evening results. The evening message must sow evening seeds, not morning seed. Evening seed. In other words, your talk should be on this message. It's the evening message. It's getting out of here. It's the evening time, which means darkness, total darkness is coming upon you. Your evening message should be the evening message, not, oh good, glory to God, John 3:16, I'm saved. Good grief. You know what? Forget it. I've said too much. The Baptists say, all you got to do is say those key words. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, and now I am saved. No, you're not. I'm sorry, you're still lost. You can say it until the cows come home, and you are lost. You better get right with this message and line it up with the word of God, or you're off target. And one word off is Satan's kingdom. Alright? So, alright, the midday scene, it sees back there with denomination, it died, it perished. But evening time will show evening time light, will show evening time results. This the evening time message, Jesus time, midday message, showed midday results. So what results are you going to show? Say right there. What results are you going to show? Well, glory to God, I'm going to be in a rapture. Just a minute. Says who? Says who? Well, I believe God's word. He said I'm going to be in the rapture. Yeah, that's for certain people. How do you know that you're one of those people? You don't know it. You should, you know, the Bible says you live your life in fear and trembling before God. Well, you know, I've done this things, nice things for God, and I've lived like, you know, good. Well, that's really good. I commend you for that. But that doesn't mean you're saved. You're saved because he says you're saved. Period. So, develop then a relationship with him. That's all I'm telling you people, is learn to love him. Don't try to correct him. Learn to love him. Say nice things about him, because you don't have much time left. In the next few months, glory to God, I think we'll be out of here. Maybe I'm wrong but I'll be out of here anyway. You might not be, but I sure will be. So you just start loving him. And every word you say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And show me, if I've been any otherwise minded, show it to me and reveal it to me. I want to make it right. Now, I know some people are going through this right now, but I know other people that are not going through this right now. So, which one are you? Are you the one that's going through this and saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Your word means everything. Show me your word. Show me and I'll change. You know, if you said that the Son of God was raised up 18 times by you, I'll believe it. If you said that the Son of God is the Son of God, he's not God the Son, I believe that too, you see. But, you know, these people that say that he's God the Son, because that's what they're teaching, they're saying that God is one like your fingers one. Well, if God and Jesus are one, like if they are one like your fingers one, then I'm sorry, but they're teaching a Trinitarian Bible, because they're making God the Son, not the Son of God. That's Trinitarian. So, anyway. The midday scene, it seems back there was denomination and died and perished. Listen, brother, sister, its revelation is the key. And if you don't have the revelation, pray for it before it's too late and get it, because it is getting later than you think. The evening time message will show evening time light, will show evening time results. Noah showed Noah results. He entered into the ark that he built. We have entered into Christ the Word that came down in this hour with a shout, a voice, and a trump. He is here. You know, we have ministers in this message, and you know, who keep writing to me, and they love this message. They think that they're getting it, but they're not getting it because they ask me the question, well, what are the signs of his parousia? Well, why don't you go back and read the Bible? Why don't you see what Paul said? Why don't you see what Jesus said? Why don't you see what John said? I preached on it, and I preached on it till I'm blue in the face, and they still ask me the question. You think the cloud is a sign of his parousia? Oh, give me a break. Listen, there's 84, at least 84 signs and events, and 79 have taken place. And they refuse to believe them. Why don't you just stop and claiming the message and go have your own denomination because you don't believe what the prophet said. All right? So, the beginning message showed the beginning results, made creation. He made his son in his own image, in the midday. In the evening time, he makes a bride for it. See what it is? His word. There you go, his word. How can an image in the midday, excuse me, he made his son in his own image in the midday. In the evening time, he makes a bride. See, what by the word. How did he form the earth? How did he speak it into existence? By his word. Who was his son? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How will he take his bride? By the Word. Not by a cart, not by a theologian's idea, like hocus pocus and now I'm going to get my change. They're looking for a magic wand instead of the word. What has changed you? It's just so simple. What has changed you from an infidel to a believer? The word. What has changed you from a believer in, say, Oneness Pentecost to a believer in the message? The word. So you are being changed. Right now, you are being changed. You know, you're not sitting here hoping it's down the future someplace. You're changed now. What will change your body? The Word. The Word. That's it. You see, we have come to the place where, as I said, the bride is coming to a preeminence in what? In the Word. When we can put the Word in front of us and before us in everything, and just read it like he said it. Brother Branham was very strict on, he said it, I believe it. I'm not trying to figure out, I just believe. I believe it. He said, I believe it. Now, some of us can maybe show you more scripture to help you to understand things better, but we can't make you believe it. He's got to make you believe it. He said it. And see, I'd be very offended as a human being if I said, I'm going to give Don $100 and he's going to buy, you know, everybody a meal. Or maybe I'd have to make it $200. And he's going to buy everybody a meal. And then Don takes the money and doesn't buy the people a meal. I'd be very offended at that. Or I'd be very offended if Don has the money in his pocket, says, this is from Brother Brian, and you're invited out. I'm going to take you for dinner. And you say, well, I've got other things to do. Well, what's more important to me? See, that would offend me because it's not Don's money. All right? And Jesus, although, you know, he was the blood of God, yet Jesus laid down his life. It doesn't, you know, and so God would be offended if you don't take his money, if you don't take Jesus, the Word, okay? So, anyway, in the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word is God, made flesh and dwelt among us. How will he take his bride? By the word, not by a new cart, not by some theologian's idea, but according to his word, he'll identify her. Don't put one thing to it or take one thing from it. Now, leave it the way it is. Can we all say that together? Leave it the way it is. All right. Don't say, well, now we no longer need a fivefold ministry. We just push play. No, I'm sorry. That's not believing the word. That's believing a man because his name happens to be a certain name. But listen, are you going to believe God and his word? The prophet did. Why can't his? All right. Anyway, for marriage and divorce, he said God gave a remedy for sin. Listen close now. God gave the remedy to rid sin off the earth. But men of the earth won't accept God's remedy. God gave us a remedy and a way to marry our wives and live with them. But men won't accept God's remedy, won't accept his word. Jesus said, who said this? And this reminds us of his words, knowing that he said, heavens and earth will fail, pass away, but mine won't. The question, the true answer that Jesus wants us to go back to is to go back to the beginning. Then that would be in Genesis, because the word Genesis is a seed chapter. To every question in the Bible, you always have to go back to the seed to see what kind of seeds in the field, to find out what crop, what your crops will be. Now, the key to marriage and divorce is it wasn't so from the beginning. Brother Vail said to me, there's only one word, and he preached it 17 times, and I said, come on, Brother Vail, quit playing with me. He said, all right, the word is beginning. It wasn't so from the beginning. All these people said, well, I've got a certain dispensation from the Lord. Okay, you might think you do. You might think you do, but you don't. And you say, well, I've been married and divorced and remarried, and just live the way you are. That's what he said. That's what the prophet said. Don't try to remarry your first wife or your second wife or your third wife or whatever. Just stay single and just marry. Just be who you are. Okay? That is why he came, for sowing the seed of the word. But the seed is not the manifestation. It's still the seed. It's still in seed form, and they look to the seed and they miss it in its manifested form. You know, evening time seed brings evening time results. Do you look at the seed or do you look at the results? The seed points you to the results. So we should be seeing the manifested word all around us, and we are a part of it. Okay? From expectation. But here was the commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Not just the word only. Paul said the manifestation of the word. Oh, really? Yeah. So, show me where push play manifests the word. It's not manifested word. Manifested word is things like, he said there would be germ warfare, and it's in every country. Manifested word is like he said there would be a Great Depression, and we see it coming. You see? Let's look at the manifestation of what he said. That's what he's saying right there. Going into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Not just the word only, Paul said, but the manifestation of the word. The gospel came to us not in word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. In other words, go into all the world and demonstrate the power of the resurrection. These signs shall follow them that believe. Just teaching the word won't do it. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost behind that word to make it come to life again. Amen. It'll come to life. It'll come to life. It will. From modern events made clear by prophecy, he said Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Christ is to be manifested in flesh. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. So, we have to see the Word become manifested. You say, well, look, who are you to tell me that you've had a stroke and I haven't had a stroke and I got this lovely body to look at and you walk like a crippled man? Well, let me just tell you this. My doctor, the neurosurgeon, said, I am, he said, I should be dead. He said, I should be a vegetable because it took place in the brain, and yet I'm walking, I'm talking. This is my sixth sermon since I've had the stroke only 8 weeks ago. And why am I here? Because God wants me here for some reason. All right, the secret had been brought forth and revealed. In the day that the Son of Man will be revealed, the world will be in a Sodom condition. It is absolutely there. You cannot say that word is not manifested. You know, the people that can see that word, why can't they see germ warfare? Why can't they see the coming plagues? Listen, the WHO is telling you that there's more plagues coming. Well, why? How do they know? Because they've made them. Exactly. From I have heard in IOC, he said, how many false impersonators rise, then Jannes and Jambres, with all of their gimmicks to do everything that Moses did, never shook him or Aaron at all. They knowed where, like Job, they knowed who their inspiration come from. Well, you know, Job had a stroke. David had a stroke. But they knew where their inspiration came from. I had a stroke. So what? I'm still living, I'm still breathing, I'm still here. Now, I can't maybe go out and run a 440 or a 100-yard dash, but who cares about those things? I care only about the Word. That's the only interest I have, is the Word. All right? Like Job, they knowed who their inspiration come from. They knowed it was thus saith the Lord. And the same Bible that spoke of them said that they'd come in the last days, impersonators, those religious denominations, when something started. Who started first, Moses or them? If they had started first, Moses would have been the mimic. Now we got all kinds of discerners and everything else that's trying to throw your mind from the genuine thing of God, which God has proven to be the truth by His scriptures, and we've heard of it with our ears. Now we see it with our eyes. In other words, now you're seeing the Word in seed form, in a manifested form. That's what He's saying. Amen. You believe it. All our hearts, inspiration. And in that day when the Son of Man is being revealed, a Son of Man, Jesus Christ, made manifest among His people. Now, all right, maybe this is off the topic. But you know, what is the first sign that Jesus said of my parousia will be? There will be deception. It'll be a deceiving time. Are we there? You see, if you look, and I want you people to go back and read Faith 39, and every time there is one of the signs and events that he spoke of, or Paul spoke of, or John spoke of, or Peter, or James, and you can say, amen, I see it. If you don't see it, call me, and we'll show you, certainly, so you can see it. Persecution of the, he said, they'll persecute you from village to village and city to city. It's already happening. The Christian is the most persecuted person in the world. All right? So we've seen it. We've heard with our ears. That's the Bible. Now we see it with our eye. Amen. You believe it. Our hearts, inspiration. In that day when the Son of Man is being revealed, a Son of Man, Jesus Christ, made manifest among His people. Okay. From I have heard, but now I see. Now we heard that in the last days the Son of Man will come among His people and reveal Himself to the people in the same way that He did at just before the destruction of Sodom. The Son of Man, what did He do? He knew the secrets that was in Sarah's heart. Have we not seen that in this day? All right. Now Brother Branham said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for Him. And when He arrived, then the discernment took place. Before He arrived, He couldn't do diddly squat, just like you and I couldn't do diddly squat. You can make your guesses. Oh, I think you got this, and like one man stood up and you know, he was Brother Val let him have a service, and so at the end of service he called Lion and he started discerning, because you know when Brother Val was a kid, like a teenager, I mean like 20, maybe 22, anyway, he would discern, and Brother Bram told him to knock it off. He said, is it 100%? He said, no. He said, then don't do it. You're just causing you're causing an interpretation wrong, or impersonation. So anyway, this guy gets up, he says, I discern that the Holy Ghost, that you pulled a deal on somebody. I said, I've never pulled a deal in my life. never pulled a deal in my life. I was completely praying about something else. And you know, so the guy just, you know, big pontificating, well, you know, I'm sorry, but you know what? You can try to be a Brother Branham, you'll never be a Brother Branham. Because, honestly, it was God that you want to be like. Because when you get so God-like, you will discern. You can't help it, because he'll show you. All right. So, anyway, so people try to be Brother Branham, they won't. So the Son of Man, what did he do? He knows the secrets that was in Sarah's heart, also gives the promise to Abraham. Abraham had heard God's voice. He might have seen him in many different ways. I don't know how he talked to him, through visions or dreams, prophecies, but this time he saw him. I've heard of you, now I see you. And the church has heard of God. They've read of him and what he did and the promises he made, but now we see him with our eyes, just the same as Job did. I've heard of thee, now I see thee. My, what a difference. What a difference. From, I've heard of thee now, but I see thee. He said, now, when the inspiration struck him, what did he do? It had it then. He had it then. Now, we find out there comes a time of these crises when the price is right on. And you look around today, look at the condition we're living in. Or aren't we living in a modern Sodom and Gomorrah? Hasn't the world struck back? That was a Gentile world that was destroyed then by fire. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 17, the 17th chapter, 28, 29, 30th verse, that is, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. What does it mean, as it was? In the same manner. In the same manner it was then, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? Is a secret made known, a revelation. Huh. So I can read 12 scriptures saying that Jesus is the Son of God, and I still read those scriptures, same scriptures that I'm reading, as Jesus, God, who is the Son. You see? It's not revealed to them. They can look right at it, they can read the scriptures, and they won't see a thing. They'll just see, oh, but the blood is God. The blood is not God. I'm sorry. It was not. It was the blood of O-F. What does it mean? It's an acronym. What does it mean? Out from. It's the blood out from God. How could God, whose spirit, have blood by his word? He created it. Good grief. You get blinder by the day. Laodicea is blinder by the day. And as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? It is a secret made known, a revelation. Is to reveal or make known a secret. Now, these things that's been hid all through the church ages is now being revealed and made known. Now, we could say that, and if God didn't back it up, that's wrong. See, God don't interpret anybody, or God don't need anybody to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. He said, let there be light, and there was. And we are living in Luther's age, Wesley's age, or the Pentecostal age. The Pentecostal age was only a restoration of the gifts coming back to the church. But we're living in the end time. We're living in the time of the calling out of the bride. So, if Brother Branham said, which he did, he said, Pentecost is a million miles, or this message is a million miles from Pentecost, then why are we trying to make altar calls with people in the church dancing around and trying to bring back something? I'm sorry, they're lost. They're lost. The people marching are lost, and the people that are saying it are lost. They're dumbed down. You know, I preached on that 20 years ago, the dumbing down of America, and they are now saying it, that America is dumbed down. You look at any graduate, and they can't even tell you the capitals of the states. They can't even tell you what states are in America. You say, where's Washington? Oh, that's over on the other side of the world, and it's over by Russia. Give me a break. How stupid can you be? But they are stupid. But they got their education. They got their degree. So what? Your degree don't mean nothing. You know, ask John about that. You know, he can do things that degreed people could never do. I mean, he had get a little bit of a degree to get his position. But his position didn't teach him. I mean, his degree didn't teach him nothing. It's what he's learned on the job that he knows what he knows. And he could teach others. In fact, he could probably go to the university and teach right there, because I did. And he knows a lot more than I do about these things. So I'm just saying, their degrees don't mean nothing. So, all right. So from trying to do God a service. Now, he promised that. So that sets the Bible just exactly to this day and of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Elijah was not. That wasn't Elijah. That was the Spirit of God on Elijah. Elijah was just a man. No, it's just a man. Now, we've had Elijah's and Elijah's coats and Elijah's mantles and Elijah's everything. But the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming according to Matthew the 17th or Luke 17:30. Wow! What is Luke 17:30? In the days that the Son of Man is revealed. Then Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He said, I am a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. So it was God operating through William Branham. Therefore, you get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who used William Branham, the God who used Lee Vale, etc. The Son of Man is to reveal himself among his people, not a man, God, but it'll come through a prophet. There you go. And he never had two major prophets at the same time, never in the world. See, no matter how much their two heads can't, he has to be one head. God, listen, I don't say this against Joseph, poor guy, because, you know, Brother Bram said, you know, that he called him a prophet when he was dedicating him. And so many people in this message have left their churches, and they're showing what's on them because they are now staying at home. They're becoming more and more Laodicean, and they're listening to tapes because, guess what? A prophet told them to. But Brother Branham said to Banks Woods, it depends on who he hangs out with, what kind of prophet he will be. He will either be a prophet of God or he will be a prophet of man. Joseph Branham, if you're listening to this tape, which prophet are you? Because you're leading them down a wrong road. You're not leading them to the manifestation of what your prophet dad said. You are leading them to the seed, which is still in seed form, in tape form. It's not about the tapes. It's about what has been said. Paul didn't say, push and play, and you got it. You got the Holy Ghost. He said, say what I say. Moses said, say what I say. Jesus said, say what I say. So if they said what, listen, until you speak the word yourself, the word means nothing to you but a seed. But when you speak the word and watch for the manifestation of what you had spoken, it'll come to pass. That is no longer a seed, that is a manifested word. Okay. Notice, but it'll come through a prophet. Okay. The Son of Man is to reveal himself among his people, not a man, but God. But it'll come through a prophet. And he never had two major prophets at the same time, never in the world. See, no matter how much there is two heads, can't, it has to be one head. God has to get one man under his control. See, there's one God, there's one Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But one God over it all, notice, and just use them offices. So has he with Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. He used that prophet, but the same God controlling it all the time to fulfill his word. So, from trying to do God again, he says, but, maybe I'll take a drink. But God has his word set and has in all ages. His foreknowledge has caused him to set in the church and in the people certain things that he did from the beginning. And then the gospel that's being preached to that age is only revealed to certain people. The rest of them don't see it. So, can you tell me that just because they're in the message, they believe the message? I can tell you, no, they don't believe the message. Just because they're in the message. Or in a message, so-called message church. That's why I say there is no message church. There is a message people. But there is no message church. There is a bride. But this thing called the Message Church is a message church. Spelt the same way, but it's a message. What other denomination do you know that believes in two souls? What other denomination do you know that believes in seven men are going to make, they're going to bring forth the thunders and they're going to make it into something great? Right. What other message do you know that preach, you know, the fanaticism, like we're in the millennium now? The second coming is already taking place. Listen, there are millions in this message. There's 2 million people. Hundreds of thousands believe that we're now in the message. The message is, you know, I mean, we're now in the millennium. Give me a break. They are not in the message, those people. They're outside. They got their own message. The message, not the message William Branham preached. They got their own message. They got their own preachers. So he said, only revealed to that certain people, the rest of them don't see it. See, thank thee, God, Father, thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them to babes such as would learn. Are you willing to learn? Is that why we come to church? To learn? All right, so you're willing to learn. Guess what? Then you're also a babe. Now, that's good. That's good. Because as a babe, you're still in diapers. All right? You're still dependent upon daddy and mommy. Right? In other words, you are not the big shot you thought you were. You're dependent. Okay? That's predestination. Not that he did it by you say, I'll choose you and don't choose you. But by his foreknowledge, he knowed who would do it, him being infinite. All right. Now, let's go to modern events made clear by prophecy again. Jesus, when he came, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in the flesh. Think of it. Now listen, this is Jesus before he comes again. He was to be manifested in the flesh. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is it? Unfolded, made known. The secret has been brought forth and revealed. In the day that the Son of Man will be revealed, the world will be in a Sodom condition. We got it, haven't we? Yeah. How many believe that it's in a Sodom condition? That's right, exactly right. Look where it's at, setting out. Remember, there's always three groups of people in every bunch of people you gather. That's make-believers, unbelievers, and believers. We have them in every group. They've had them in all time. There was the Sodomites, there was the Lotites, and there was the Abraham. All right. From I have heard, but now see, he said, who started first, Moses or them? If they had started, Moses would have been a mimic. Okay, we've already got that, but now we see it with our eyes. All right, for faith is expressed. He said, now, you might understand now, because I've preach scriptures here, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days that the church is being revealed, nope. In the day that the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed is made known. That's right, revealed. The days that the Son of Man is being revealed, it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that right? Now look what happened. They had two main messengers down there in Sodom and Gomorrah because there was a bunch of lukewarm Christians down there. Is that right? And they had two main messengers, now listen close, down in Sodom and Gomorrah preaching, one of them who stood out here with Abraham's group. That's right. So you tell me that a college group in Kentucky is calling for a great revival. Which messenger are they listening to? Certainly not the messenger to the bride, Gentile bride. They're listening to the Sodom messenger and Gomorrah messenger. They're listening to the two angels, to Abraham or to Graham, Billy Graham, and Oral Roberts. That's all. And you know, they're just listening to a false echo. Okay, from Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." It's all about deception. All right, 1 John 4:1-6. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." How do you try a spirit you can't see? The Word is the only thing. The Word is the only way you can try the Spirit. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Well, I could say the same thing. If you won't hear me, you're not of God. Listen, what other preacher has had the pillar of fire in the form of three rainbows come over his meeting? Tell me that. I'm going to ask you that one. Just who has God indicated and stood over the church and did the same thing with the prophet of God in the same manifestations from a horizontal to a bowl shape and then to a whole circle? And yet, they don't have the time to listen because they're too busy. Well, I'm sorry, but did you have time to listen to the prophet's message? Well, yes, I did. Well, listen, the same prophet, the same God that vindicated him has indicated by showing up to view one of my sermons about him. And he wouldn't have done that because he's not a respecter of persons. So if he did that for the prophet, he did it for me. Because it's not about me and not about the prophet. It's about the same word that the prophet said, that Paul said, that Jesus said. It's the same word. All right? 1 John 3:6-7. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." What is righteous? To do right. Simply, that's it. You're doing right because he said to do it. Or he said not to do it, you don't do it then. All right? Malachi 3:16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you discern," or "then shall you return." Return to what? Okay. Let's just read it as this. "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked." How in the world are you ever going to do that? Are you returning to what? Are you returning to becoming invisible? Are you returning to, is it all magic? No. It's about returning to the Word. Then you will discern. Then, if you got his doxa, you will know. "Then you will discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." Those people that sat under certain ministers for 30 and 40 years sat under those ministers, and those ministers never even preached the message. They never even... Look, they were interested in their fishing boats and in what they could acquire on this earth. They didn't know the message. They were married two or three times. "Then shall you discern." When? When you return to the Word. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. There you are. So how can you sit there and say, well, I've been in the message 40 years and I never heard these things? Because you sat under a false anointed one. You sat under one of those in 2 Peter where he said false Christ, false teachers shall enter in amongst a flock, not sparing them, and shall make into disrepute the true doctrine. And they can say all they want, but now they say, well, I guess, you know, the man was kind of a money grubber. You know, he did to me, and he did to some people I know, and he did certain things. So, well, then why don't you just open your eyes and learn? If these ministers are into money, women, and popularity, that makes them false. If they're piling up for themselves, they are false, like Samuel's two boys and like Eli's two boys. They are false, false, false. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Now, are you learning? Are you discerning? Are you returning? Returning to what? To the Word. Malachi 4 was all about returning to the children, to the fathers, to the Word that the fathers held dear. Finally, in Hebrews 12, there's a few more, but we'll just... Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin... every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I say any more? We just read you another quote where Jesus is not his own father. Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it's not you performing it either. He which began the good work in you is the one performing it. There should be it happening in this church and those who follow this ministry. There should be happening things, supernatural things. Now, I know there's one thing that's happened. I'm alive. That's a supernatural thing. So there is one. And some of you should be dead, and there's a supernatural God keeping you alive. All right? So, being confident of this very thing. Yes, I'm confident. He which began a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perform it. I'm not about to perform it. You know, I can raise my hands and I can lift them up a little bit, but I can't perform, not too much. But he can. And if you say it's bound to be moved, it'll move. Maybe a pebble at a time, but it's moving. All right. So, in closing, will you look backward or forward and fail to see the Word for your day? All right, John 8:18-19. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, you should have known my father also. Notice, Jesus says there's two that bear witness. Two that bear witness, because it's a law. You know, in the Jewish law, it took two to condemn a person. It took two to set the person free. And so if you accused a person of rape or of murder and didn't have another witness, it was just hearsay. But if you have two witnesses, and so Jesus said, the word which my Father gave me is one witness, and the works which my Father gave me is one, and my Father. Well, now, wait a minute now. If he is his own father, you don't have two witnesses, do you? Then everything he said, everything he did is wrong, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, he said, my father is the other, O-T-H-E-R, other. Why don't they read that? Other. Not myself, other. Because I can't read. Because it's revealed to you. In John 9:29, then they revealed him and said, or then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he come. Wait a minute now. You think God is going to raise the dead and do all the miracles that he did? And that was just a man doing it? I'm sorry, they're just stupid. Ignorant. Use the word ignorant. There are ignorant people, dumb dogs that bark not. Okay? Acts 6 and 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men who said, what does suborn mean? Suborn. In other words, they're paid men. They suborn men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Like what? What words did he say? That he was God's son? And you don't believe that you are God's son? And they stirred up the people and the elders and scribes and came on him and caught him and brought him to the council. Let's just pray. Gracious Father, we know that the same they think of us. But Lord, we just know that we are just saying what you said. And we are reading your scriptures one word at a time and one thought at a time. We are not compiling it like a book. We're not ready to read it like we would get through it. We don't speed read your word. We take it one thought at a time. Help us to do so, for you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And the same ministry that took place in Jesus' age is the same one here again who used a prophet and did the same things. That's why there was more people healed in his ministry than there was in any of Jesus. Now we just commit all of this that we have said in Jesus' name and by his word. Amen. Amen.